Hello, my name is Sharon Kim. For those of you who don't know me, I did grow up in this church and I missed it so much in the past 2 years that I was gone. I'm so glad to be back and I'm so happy to see everyone here today. So 2 years ago, my mom went on missions to Myanmar. She made the decision earlier on and she was waiting for me to graduate. She wanted me to graduate so that she can finish her job as a mother and leave as a long-term missionary to anywhere in the world. And at first, my mom was asking me. She asked me about if I would like to go with her, and I said no, outright. I was so nervous and so scared and so fearful of being someone who takes something as precious as the gospel to people around the world. I was scared that I would make mistakes. I was scared that through my mistakes, people would turn away from God, or people would be stumbled because of me. But through prayer, and with a lot of reluctance on my end, God ended up sending me with my mom. And initially I said, Mom, I'm going for 6 months. That's it. I'm going to help you settle in, and then I'm going to come back to the States because I have a lot of things to do. I have work. I have life. I have to move on. That was my heart. And then in Korea, while we were resting there and my mom was getting her U.S. citizenship, she was doing a lot of things, she had cancer. And at that time, I was praying to God, Lord, I surrender. I surrender everything to you. I surrender my mom to you. You make the decisions. You do as you will, because God, it is her life in your hands and it's my life in your hands. I have no control. It's you. And so my mom went through surgery, and through the prayers of the church, she got better. And in that time, there was a lot of hardships, because people were saying, oh, should you be going? Oh, I don't think you should go anymore. Oh, I think you should take an easy rest. Don't go. And my mom was, she was struggling, but God really, really poured into my heart his love for Myanmar. God really poured into my mom's heart the love for he had for Myanmar. And so we ended up saying, okay, everyone, okay. We understand. We understand your concerns, but we're going. But we're going because the Lord sent us. And that's how we went into Myanmar. I had no idea what Myanmar was like. I didn't even know that it was a country in the Southeast Asia, but I ended up going. And when I got there, I fell in love. It was hot, it was the summertime, but I fell in love just with the people, with the culture, with everything. And then we went to church for the first time. And I saw people who I didn't know in a language that I didn't know, and I heard them praising our Lord. And that gave me so much joy and so much happiness that I was like, God, like, thank you for bringing here. Thank you for bringing me here. There is nothing I'd rather do, nowhere I'd rather be than here. And so all the worries that I had about my future, all the worries that I had about sharing the gospel, they were set down. Because God gave me strength. God gave me his power. And so I was able to go out and I was able to share confidently, share with much joy the love of God. Truly the love of God. Every single place we went to was very, very impoverished, was very poor. There was a lot of sickness, there was death even. And it was really heavy in my heart. And I had a lot of compassion because God gave me his heart for them. But more than anything, though they lacked everything, more than anything, they needed Christ. And God showed me that. And because of that, rather than taking them resources, rather than saying, oh yes, God will heal you, because he can and he will, we brought these people the hope of Christ. I think in Myanmar, I learned even more how precious the gospel of Jesus Christ is, how more than anything, we just need Christ. I never grew up like them. I had everything. I lived in this affluent place with beautiful air, beautiful trees. I had everything. But it was so unsatisfying to live day by day in this land. And I was so ready to go on missions. I knew from the beginning that I wanted to go, but there was so much fear that kept me from going. And there was so much fear that kept me from sharing the love of God to the people who don't know him. The people who live day by day without knowing God, without having hope in God, without even hearing the name of Jesus. And those people, there are so many. And I think it truly breaks my heart that there are so many. But there are so many people in this world, so many Christians who are praying for those people, who are ready to go out for those people. So I really want to encourage you to do so. I really want to encourage you to truly find the Lord and understand that we have so much to offer to these people, even more than water, even more than clear skies, even more than education. We can offer them Jesus Christ. We can share with them Jesus Christ, and he is beyond everything else. And some stories about Myanmar. There are many, but I think a few that really stands out is a woman had cancer. This was in the beginning. We went to her house. She had cancer. She was dying on her bed, and she had no help. She was sweating. She was just laying there all day long, and her sons and her daughters and her husband were just fanning her because it was hot. And we went into that place, and all I could do was pray, and all I could do was hold her hand, and all I could do was say, Lord, let your will be done. Lord, may your comfort come to these people. May your peace be upon these people. And may each and every son and daughter turn to you and cling on to you during this hard time. And she passed away. And that's what they did. Because they have hope in God, they know that nothing else matters, even death. They will see their mother again in heaven with God because she clung on to Christ. She was a believer. And I think in that moment, I was so amazed at God's love, at God's true abundance and comfort. I know I'm rambling. I did prepare, but it was very hard. And I don't know what to share because there's so much. And then there was another man who I went with our team. And basically, we were just sharing the gospel to him. Straight up gospel. We shared that Jesus Christ is the only way. You are a sinner in the sight of God. There is no other hope for you, no other way for you. But Jesus Christ redeems you. He died on the cross for you. He gave you life through his sacrifice. You are righteous before our God. And he received with his whole heart, and he confessed that he was a sinner. He confessed and repented that he was a sinner, and that Jesus Christ is so good. I think there are not many who receive as that man did. There are many who want more, who want comfort, who want money, who want food, because it is so, so poor there. And they want these things, but we continue to profess Christ alone, because Christ is sufficient for all things. And I hope and pray that those in Myanmar, that those all over the world who are living without Christ, as they hear the message of Jesus Christ, when they hear it from us, that the Holy Spirit will work in his time and open ears and open hearts to receive him. That is truly my prayer for all. And I hope and pray that a church joins with me. I know that you guys already are. And my mom and I truly receive so much through your prayers. The grace of God is always upon us. And he opens paths, he opens doors, because he sent us. And I know I did a really bad job sharing, but truly, God is alive. God is working. I know that there are things in this world that say otherwise, and there are many worries and anxieties in our lives, but truly, God is sufficient. Christ is all. And to be able to live this life and to be able to be there is such a joy and such a privilege. It really, really is. And even though there are things that we lack and things that are hard for us, it's by far, like, there's no comparison. There's no comparison to be able to see the faces of those who hear about Christ and those who accept Christ eventually. So I truly hope and pray for all of us to continue on this walk with our Lord, to not give up, to continue praying for those who do not believe, because there are so many, and to be men and women who truly care and love for those around us, because if you are like me, and if you say, oh, someone else can do it, oh, there are so many people who are better than I am, oh, there are so many chances elsewhere, then what happens if there isn't? So I truly hope and pray that all fears and all worries and all anxieties will be gone, because God is powerful, and the work that he does and the way that he speaks through you, he will work. And he brings those whom he called before all times back into his family. We are Christians, and we are called to follow Christ, and we are called to share about Christ. Let fear not be something that keeps you from obeying God, because it kept me from obeying God. But I truly hope that for every one of us, we will strive to live as men and women of God, who only obey God and only hear God, rather than all the voices in this world. even though that was a mess, that was just a little bit of what I wanted to share. God bless you and keep you.
I have nothing more to add to that. I was so encouraged and moved to see, indeed, Christ alone, more than enough. Christ alone is sufficient. Thank you so much. And I'll invite Elder E now to come up and tell us about what God did in Japan through us.
How do I match that?
How do I match what the chair just shared? She's got such a lovely smile, doesn't she? I saw her growing up in this church, and it's so appropriate for the graduating seniors and some of you guys who attended church together to hear her the testimony. We went to Japan. There were 15 of us, but let me go through this. And I don't think I have a whole lot of time, so I'm just going to show you some pictures. And I will invite you guys to come on Friday, this coming Friday, to hear more detailed testimonies and whatnot. Jonah, I'm just going to nod my head and you can flip through. And the next one, the things that we did in, is it not working? It's based on Luke 10. When you get a chance, I didn't jot down every single verses in Luke 10, just a few highlights. And this is where Jesus sends 72 of his disciples out to evangelize the towns and whatnot. And he told them the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And the 15 of us who went there was moved by, inspired by this verse here. And Jesus says, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves, and do not take whatever. And then he says, when you enter a house, first say peace to this house. This is exactly what we did. Before we pushed that doorbell, we blessed them, and wishing for peace to come upon their house. And if a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. I'm going to share two potential man of peaces that we met, peace we met. Next one. Japan is, capital is, Tokyo. Population is 126 million as of June 22nd. So I think someone's counting. And it's 145,000 square miles. And the main religion there is the Shintoism. They believe about 80,000 different gods and their ancestors. And we met a lot of the people who say no because of that religion. And Buddhism is 66.8%. We talk to them. At the end, they will say, Bukyo, Bukyo. That means they are believing in Buddhism. And Christianity is at 1.5%. Next. And there were 15 of us. And because of the graduating seniors, there were four from youth ministry, six from English ministry, and five from the KM. And I couldn't find the photo with the team, so I used the photo that we took when I visited this factory where the president became got baptized a month ago. And he's utilizing the disabled people to make wooden toys and whatnot. Next. And we went to three different places. One in the far south is Odate, and in the middle is Aomori, and far way up there is the Mutsu. If you can turn the lights off right behind that those right there, Hendrickson. Yep, just bring it all the way down. And Odate is like just the countryside, rice fields. So as we were driving down south from Aomori, what we saw was just a bunch of rice fields. But the houses were really nice. You should really see it. Clean, nice houses, nice people. And those are the three places we went. And the people we met, when you look at it, one on the left is from Aomori Church. We had a worship service with them on Sunday. And we took a photo. And one on the right, they had a special service for us on Tuesday in Odate, and we had a service there and a praise time and whatnot, and we took a photo there. And next, and I'm not going to dwell on all this each page, but I just wanted to show you. If you click one more, you will see the we had a skit, no words, so music and skit. And the senior retired pastor's wife, she saw that, and later she shared that even though there was no word at all, she felt the Jesus love and his why he had to sacrifice himself and whatnot. So she asked us to do it again, so we did it again. And if you look at, if you can get rid of that thing there, now Pastor Peter spoke few more Japanese words than I did, so he did a lot of speaking. He said watagushi wa, something that we came from U.S. Can you say cancel or something? Anyway, so we went door to door, and before we rang the bell, we prayed for the peace of that place, and we shared the gospel tract. We asked them, since we don't speak Japanese, other teams had the translators, but the Pastor Peter and I, can you go back? Pastor Peter and I did not have any translator, so we just showed the track and then have them read it. And a lot of them, most of them, we handed out about over hundreds of those tracks, and most of them said no, but some of them actually read through. And if you look at the one top in the middle, we didn't know how much to open the door, right? So we just barely opened and we showed the ad. But later on, we found out that we could actually open it up and go in. We didn't know that. So that's kind of interesting. And one on the far right, on the top, we went to this house, and there was a young, I think probably is at the elementary school or whatnot. He was nice enough to read the whole thing. There were some few kanjis he didn't understand, probably, because he couldn't read them. And then we couldn't communicate with him because we didn't speak Japanese, we didn't have a translator, he didn't speak English. So we just said, arigato gozaimasu, and then we were going to turn around, and he said, wait. And he went in and brought some pakasu. You know what pakasu is? That the drinks, the sweet drinks? And it was so nice of him. And I just took a picture of the Pastor Peter walking. We were going from one side of the town to the other. There was no pavement, so we just had to walk on that rice field there. And we, each of us, prepared this testimony, and we shared them with those people as well. Next one, please. Next. And then we split into two teams, Odate and Aomori team, and then we got joined on Wednesday evening. But the Aomori team did the street evangelism as well. And also we went to, on Friday, we went up to this mount called Mount Osore. It's a mount of fear. Every year, the shamans gather together in the Buddhist temple in the mount. And then they call the dead spirit. And then they dead spirit speak through them. So a lot of people come to that place and ask the shamans to look for their dead family members so that they will come and talk. So in the beginning, before we went up, the night before, people were scared. Hey, what happens if the evil spirit comes upon us, right? But when we went up there that morning, and as I was praying, and I saw this the angels going there and then destroying all those, killing all those evil spirits. When we went there in the Buddhist temple, not a single monk, right? So all we had the all temple by ourselves. And before we got to the temple, there was a huge lake. This place smelled like a rotten eggs because there's so much sulfur in the area. And we praised God, and we had a worship, and we asked God to make that the Mount Sinai instead of the Mount of Fear. And then on the bottom, I'll show more pictures later on briefly, but see those people sitting up against the wall for? The gentleman is Aomori Baptist Church's Pastor Kakumoto's father, stepfather. He was abused when he was a child, so he was very strict. And Pastor Kakumoto and his wife couldn't dare to preach gospel to them because he was so strict and so, they were scared of them. But provided the lunch for us. He runs a Japanese restaurant. So they sit like that up against the wall. If you look at this picture, the first one, she was sharing her testimony. She's kneeling down as out of respect. And then Pastor Peter, instead of talking to them standing up, he knelt down as well. But later on, I think he's hurting, the legs must be hurting because he kind of sat up, right? It was a very difficult situation. I was listening, I didn't think he was going to accept Christ. He had this very solemn, like, you know, this face. There was no way that he was going to change his mind. But he did. He did. And then I'll show you the picture later on. Go ahead. And this elder Kim and his wife, he brought a ukulele, and that worked great charm. He went into a house in Kazuno, the city where the Buddhist temple and the evil spirit was so prevalent. And there was used to be a church, but church had to close the door because people went back to the Buddhist temple one night. He visited one house, and he played ukulele and sang "Jesus Loves Me" in English. The lady of the house asked them, "What does it mean? What those words mean?" So the Japanese pastor was able to actually deliver the gospel message because of that, and that lady accepted Christ as a personal savior. Just amazing. And if you look at the guy on the right, the next picture, those two elementary school students, this team met them on the street, and they showed them the track, and they delivered the message. And would you accept Christ as a personal savior? They said yes. And they said, can you come back and give the same message to our parents? Oh, we cannot wait. Oh, then they went and brought their friends. And it was just amazing. And Eric, our high school student, he led the sinner's prayer for those kids. Just amazing. And the next one, this is an interesting one. One on the left is when we first met him. He had a really nice house, and he was working on the left side of his, outside of his house, he was gardening. So we approached him because we saw him. Instead of knocking on the door, we saw him, we approached him, and we showed him, and he read the whole thing, entire thing, the track, the Avenger Cube thing. He read everything, and we got stuck after that because he was asking questions. Pastor Peter and I couldn't understand. And eventually, because of the communication barrier, he said, "Bukyo," and then we had to come back. But Pastor Peter and I felt that he was the man of peace, personal peace. So when we came back to the church, we told the Pastor Muraoka and other Japanese pastors, we have to go back to that house because he definitely is a personal peace. So we did. And previous one, please. And he was working on the left side of the house, but in the afternoon, so when we got to his house, we used the main road, we saw him on the left, and we did that. After lunch, we were coming back again. We went to the back road and to the right side of the house, and he was there. If we went to the front and rang the bell, we would have not met him again. He was on the right side. And we brought the Pastor Hari and Pastor Muraoka. It was amazing. So we talked to them, and Pastor Muraoka, the one man in the suit, he stepped forward, and the man said, "Muraoka-san!" He knew that pastor. They had a concert, and they worked together. And we were talking. He said, "There used to be a church, as I said. My wife used to go to a church three times a day. But because the church disappeared, they didn't have any church to go to. So we asked him, would you accept Christ as a personal savior?" He said, "Yes." So Pastor Muraoka, I have a video of that. He led the sinner's prayer and the acceptance prayer. And that gentleman, Tanaka-san, he has an office in the community center in Kazuno. Starting this week on, they will have a Bible study there. That the Miyoko-san, with the ukulele, the lady who accepted Christ through the ukulele performance thing, she will be there to start a Bible study. I think their home will be used as a house church. Next one. This is another one. I'll share this one and then I'll stop because I'm taking up too much time. Three pictures. Pastor Peter gave them the message, gospel, right? Gospel of Christ. And then he asked him, would you accept Christ as a personal savior? silence. Pastor Peter waited, silence. So Pastor Peter said, let's pray for them, for him, and bless him. As we were praying, somehow I felt that I have to kneel down. So I knelt on the floor, and as I was praying, God was giving me the inspiration that, my daughter, I heard your prayer. His wife has been, his wife's father is a Christian. She's a Christian. She's a devout Christian. Her Bible is written with all kinds of notes and whatnot. She's been praying so long for his salvation. And just imagine how she would have felt when he didn't say yes. But after the blessing, Pastor Peter asked him again, would you accept Christ as a personal Savior? In the middle, he said yes. I don't think you can see the facial expression on wife's face. She went like, she couldn't believe it. She was devastated when he didn't say yes in the beginning, but when he said yes, she was in such a joy. Amazing. Tanaka-san, and they have this attic-like place where they can get gathered together and worship. Those two, and this is in the from Aomori to Mutsu. It's in the middle, the town of Yokohama. Next one, I'll skip through this real quick. And this lady is 80-something. She greeted us kneeling down like that. And Pastor Hari, Japanese pastor, went through the track. And when he asked the question, would you accept? She said yes. And Pastor Muraoka visited the house, her house again, 2 days later. She still, it was not like she was saying yes out of peer pressure, but she still wants to have the Bible study with Pastor Muraoka. On the right side, there was a lady, a Korean lady, running a Korean restaurant in Mutsu, way up north. There's no church there either. She invited a bunch of people, and we had a worship service there. And when we asked people, there were seven people who were not Christians, and we asked questions, only two raised their hands. So we prayed, and we went to each person, and then we showed them, went over the tracks and prayed for them. And the young gentleman there, he said, no. Well, I sat right next to him. Would you accept Christ as a personal Savior? No. So went through the track again, and then he said, yes, right? Five people out of seven accepted Christ. This is in Japan, not in US or India. And next one, and Kakumoto, the bottom picture, the gentleman in the middle is Pastor Kakumoto. Look at his father and father's facial expression, right? So solemn, and then eventually he said, I'll accept Christ. We went through the seniors prayer and accepted Christ, and then our kids praying for them, blessing them. And next one, please. I'm taking up too much time. Can you hit one more time? This is a video. No, go back. Next one. Okay. So then, go down one more, please. One more. That lady, Minori-san, she's the Pastor Muraoka's, Odate, the church's daughter. She's in college. She's studying multilinguistic, and she came up to be a translator. And she said, this was a new experience. They don't go door to door anymore. So she said it was such a blessing, and that she saw God working through the team. And she said she would want to do this again. And there was another lady I didn't capture. Her name is Tomoko, 29 years old, 3-year-old child. Husband's 29 years old as well. She spoke very good English. She said it was self-learned. And she shared the very first day, before the very first, she didn't press the bell, our team did. But she was standing there. She said her heart was pounding because she was scared and nervous. Those who have gone out to the house door to door, you probably felt the same way, right? You're nervous and your heart's pounding. And she said, it was such a blessing though. She wants to do it more. And another thing that I noticed, so in Japan, before we left, Pastor Kim stopped by in our training room, and he said, if you can have three people accept Christ on your trip, that would be great. one in Odate, one in Aomori, one in Mutsu. But we had three in Odate, five in Aomori, 12 in Mutsu, accepting Christ as a personal Savior. Out of 12 in Mutsu, out of those 12, I think few might have just raised their hand out of peer pressure. But the others were genuine. It's just amazing experience for us. And another thing that I noticed was that the Pastor Muraoka, the Odate Pentecostal Church's pastor, he said, you know, I stopped evangelizing people. I've been running my ministry event-driven, through counseling, through events. But he said, I want to go back to evangelism now. And Pastor Kakumoto, the Aomori Church's pastor, he said he felt that their church is upgraded by one level. So my prayer request for you is those who have heard, I don't know what we're going to do in your own time or whenever you pray, that those who have heard the gospel messages will want to continue to follow Jesus Christ. And we pray for the Pastor Kim, Elder Kim, the old man, gentleman with the ukulele. They were visiting one house. She couldn't come to church because she had a back surgery. They pray for her. And the Minori song, the pastor's son, daughter sent Pastor Kim an email on the day we were leaving Japan. That lady, her doctor told her, you're much better now. Now you can walk instead of just lying down all the time. So she's going back to work next month. But she should have come to church this Sunday. Just amazing the miracles that God has shown us, right? And I know, even in our church, the wives praying for husbands and husbands praying for their wives, God showed that, God's hearing all those prayers. And He will answer those prayers. Anyway, so the house church will be established in those cities that we visited. And the pastors will continue to devote themselves in evangelizing people. And this one, the last one, I really want us to go. I really want us to go visit Sharon in Myanmar. And I really want us to go to Japan again. We didn't speak English, Japanese at all. But we were able to actually bring people to Christ. We should go. And no matter what I say, if your heart's closed, you will not listen to me. But I sincerely hope that you will pray that God will give you that motivation to go. And if not Japan, Israel, or Myanmar, anywhere God sends us, because the harvest is, the field is ready, it's just that the workers are short, so we should really go. Hopefully this November, a bunch of us will go to the mission fields. And also, it's kind of ironic that we don't do house-to-house, door-to-door evangelism, but we went there and did it in Japan. We should do that here as well. That's the inspiration that God gave us. Please come on Friday and listen to other members' testimony. You'll be touched and you'll be moved. Okay, thank you.